A year after a Detroit man was killed at Eastern Market, his family has filed a wrongful death lawsuit. Now, the suit targets the market's operators, the event security team, and the coordinator of the tailgate where the incident happened, alleging failures that could have prevented his death. Joining us to talk about the case and what's next is Todd Flood. He's managing partner of Flood Law. Counselor, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lloyd. How are you, buddy?
I am good. Let's start with the basics here. What exactly is the family alleging in this wrongful death lawsuit, and who are they holding responsible?
Well, they get several in here. They're suing, one, the security company that was supposed to protect. They're suing the owner of Eastern Market, the actual operation of Eastern Market, and obviously the shooter. But really, you know, they're going for the pockets. The only people that have any money in this case would be the security company in Eastern Market. That's the only people that would have the cash to pay them or insurance coverage to cover them. Shield Security, you see them, they're all over the place in Detroit. They do a great job for the most part. Problem with this lawsuit, and, you know, it's sad, it's tragic. The problem with the lawsuit is that normally, just like in Oxford, just like in other places, you can't hold someone else responsible for the acts. You know, I can't hold you, Lloyd, responsible normally for the acts of your friend or the acts of a loved one. So it's difficult to do. When I rely upon a security company, for example, if they put metal detectors or some kind of wands up, you know, to come into the building or get into a certain spot, you're detrimentally relying upon that company. And so that's one thing that they may say, you know, we relied upon you to provide the security. You didn't, but for your lack of security, you know, my son or my loved one wouldn't be dead.
So, but the claim here is that the shooting was foreseeable because of past incidents. Legally speaking, you know, how do you establish that something like this was predictable enough to require preventative action?
You can only do so much, right?
Yeah.
They put security up. They put, you know, guards around. You can only do so much. Is it reasonably foreseeable? Well, that's supposed to be a deterrent for criminal acts, you know, of shooting and killing. I mean, there's a potential claim. We have a very famous case here in the state of Michigan called the Pine Knob sod throwing case, where there was a melee, and Pine Knob, the fans were throwing sod, and the guy ended up losing his eye, and it went all the way up to our Supreme Court. And what happened in that case was Pine Knob was sued. It was reasonably foreseeable. Well, all that Pine Knob had to do was call an ambulance, and they provided security to the best of their ability, and the case got kicked. Mm-hmm. But that was the same argument. You know, it was reasonably foreseeable. Listen, I'm all for the plaintiffs. You know, I do a lot of work. That's what I do, primarily on the civil side of things. But this is just such a tough one to me, because how reasonably foreseeable is it? You know, they take the extra steps. They put shield security around. They try to make deterrence from happening. But at the end of the day, there's only so much anyone reasonably, that's going to be the standard, reasonably can do.
After the shooting, Eastern Market changed the rules and banned weapons and such. Could that come back to them in this case because they changed something?
So remedial actions that are taken afterwards are not admissible 99%. Of the time in court. In other words, if I fell on your patio because you had a faulty step, Jamie, and then later on you repaired it, I can't take in and bring into evidence that you repaired it because our policies in this world are no one would ever repair anything if that could be used against you. So if I change things or I make things more secure or I bring up better security possibilities, that's what we call a subsequent remedial repair. And that subsequent remedial repair is not something that can normally be brought into evidence.
Is there a situation kind of to that point where further changes are made, where there's almost like some sort of consensual agreement that you sign that has, you know, these different addendums in a specific contract? Like when you're signing up for an iPhone, you don't know everything that's in it, but you sign it anyway. Is that something that you could see in a situation like this, where you've got so many people concentrated in a certain area, and you remove liability from event spaces?
Yeah. So a lot of places do that. A lot of people, contracts. My golf partner Chris. A lot of people will take away, liability by signing waivers. We put those, but oftentimes we say those waivers are not, as plaintiff's attorneys will say, hey, that's just boilerplate language that's, in a font that you can't read, and trying to squeak something between the lines. And so no one reads them, and therefore they're not, not binding. However, that's in many situations what venues will potentially do. If you look at your tickets online for any kind of sporting events, there's waivers on transferring of tickets that people aren't liable or responsible. And you'll see that. But I've had cases against other venues that I won't bring up that I've settled because it was more than reasonably foreseeable that injuries and, actions would take place.
Right.
And they didn't protect, and a person signed off at the venue, dealing with, boxing and fighting and wrestling. And, someone, there was a metal detector at the door, and people were going through the metal detector, and one of the people at the venue unplugged the metal detector. The other people didn't realize, that it was unplugged, and that, people relied upon, it's safe in here, I don't have to worry about it.
Todd, we got about a minute left, and I just got to ask you, Rashawn Palmer was the victim in the shooting, and he was described as a father of six who was just trying to keep the peace when he was killed. How does a wrongful death suit attempt to provide justice or closure for a family in a loss like this?
There isn't justice. There might be some mercy. I've had so many, Lloyd, so many cases that, I've had where someone's lost a loved one and I'm suing on behalf of them. And I tell them all the time that there is no justice. There might be some mercy. There might be a modicum, but it's civil. There's money here. But it helps with closure. It's therapeutic to some degree. There's holding people accountable. There's getting money for those that, loved ones lost, that were providing for them, for everyone else. But I don't call that justice.
All right, Todd Flood, appreciate you coming on and giving some insight to this case. We're going to be following it, and I know you will as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. My amigos, you all have a great day.
You have too, a good Todd. Weekend. Presidents Trump and Putin, they're set to meet in the coming days. What will they discuss? What does it mean for global stability? We'll find out next at 649.